Hi guys, good morning and extremely sorry for minor delay in the start of the session. You know, there were some technical glitches and also I was struggling to find this building because this is the first time I'm coming into this building and I misunderstood because I was last year in a different building and that room was also 103. So I just went there and then walked here, but I was here on time, but despite that, we could not figure it out. But I hope we can manage with the PC now. So how is everything on your side? Good. Yeah, it seems like some of the students might also be struggling to find the place here. Okay. So in our today's session, before starting our today's session, I would like to ask you if you have any confusions or any problems in the last session. You can let me know. Especially, just to recap, what we discussed in the last session was mainly we discussed three things. One, we introduced each other, and the second thing was the assessment of the course because this is more student-centered course, and you have access to the material, you will have access to the lectures, which you can watch later on, and then you have two types of assessments. One is the personal reflections, and the other one is the entrepreneurial project. And at the end of the session yesterday, we have groups, and I was just looking at the group file before coming for the session, and I noticed that it seems like most of the group issues are settled now. But if there is some issue, I will be here after the session. After every session, I will be standing here for like 10, 15 minutes just to discuss with you if there are some issues which you are facing in the course, in the content, or in the completion of your personal reflections or your entrepreneurial project. But just to reiterate one more time, that again, it's a basics level course, and there are some other entrepreneurship courses in the department and at the university. So I have tried to design this course a little different in a way that there will be mostly lectures, and within the lectures there will be, you know, sometimes there will be some small activities, or your participation is also very important during those lectures. But it's not like a hands-on course because this year it's different because it's in spring. Last time actually this course is supposed to take place in October. That is the original time of this course. And during that time, there are new students, more students. And last time there were 80 students in the course. And next year we expected around 120 students in this course. And that is precisely the reason that we have designed this course more in a, you know, combination of traditional as well as this somehow some of the practical experience and only one practical assignment, that is the entrepreneurial project. So with that, in our today's session, what we will do is we will discuss some of the basics of entrepreneurship and why that is important. Just to give you a head start, entrepreneurship is just like you are in a forest and you are trying to carve your own path. And there in the forest, there are animals. Some of those are dangerous animals. Some of those are your friends. There are trees. There are other things in the forest. And you being an entrepreneur is trying to figure out what to do in this situation and what way you have to take into this situation. And that is precisely what we are going to do in our today's session, that we are going to walk together through that forest to figure out some of the basic and foundational concepts of entrepreneurship. For example, at the end of the session, you should be able to understand some basic things, very basic, like who is an entrepreneur, what are different myths which are related to the concept of entrepreneur, what is entrepreneurship, what are different forms of entrepreneurship? Is it a single person journey? Or what is the importance of the team? So these four or five issues, they are the key focus of our today's session. And one more thing which is very important, some of you might have already downloaded the slides yesterday, but that happens with me. I prepared the slides last week, but when I was looking at the slides again and I changed them at night, also some, I included some more, you know, pictures and some more things into the slides, and I uploaded them yesterday at night. So please discard the earlier ones and download the new slides which I have just uploaded afterwards. And there you will find, you know, some more things and more examples, and I try to have more interaction, you know, into those slides. So with that, are you ready for walking together in a uncertain, dangerous forest together, a forest of entrepreneurship? Let's see what it holds for us. Okay. So these will be the objectives, time schedule for our today's session, roughly. But before we get started, do you know these persons? Let's start from the person from the left. Do you know who is he? Person on the left. How many of you? One, two. Person on the second. No one knows? Yeah, you know. Okay, you know. Who is he? Jensen Huang. Okay. Who is the first person? Jack Ma. Okay. And this third guy? Okay. Three people. I was expecting more answers. Oh, yeah. Now I see. So more people know this guy. Is it because of his political involvement or because of the entrepreneurship? Do you know his political involvement recently? Some of you know he is considered to be the real president of US. So he is working with Donald Trump, and he is his right hand. Then the last guy. Great. Are you from Bangladesh? Okay. Anyone else? You know. Two people know him. It's interesting. So these are, you know, four people. So who are they? Dr. Yunus, founder of Grameen Bank. And then we have Elon Musk. He has many different entrepreneurships. He started with PayPal. He was the one of the founders of PayPal. And after that, now he is the founder of Tesla. He is the founder of SpaceX. He has Neuralink. And you might know, because you are young guys, and you might know Grok. Grok, which is the product of XAI. And all of you know about Twitter, X, which is now called X. So he is the owner of X now. He started XAI. So he is the founder of, you know, man. And he is the world's richest person. He has like, I think, 400 or something. I'm not going into, you know, exact figure. It may be wrong, but he is the richest person on the face of the earth at the moment. Jack Ma, what is he doing? He is, I would say, the backbone of world commerce. He is the founder of Alibaba and different suppliers for China they supply. I will come to Dr. Yunus a bit later because I like him a lot because of some reasons. Last, Jensen Huang. All of you are aware of artificial intelligence. You know artificial intelligence. Everybody is talking about it. Governments are talking about it. Entrepreneurs are talking about it. Universities are talking about it. Companies are investing billions of dollars. Governments are investing billions of dollars. And behind all this revolution, there is a company, and the name of the company is NVIDIA. And he is the founder of NVIDIA, one of the founders of NVIDIA company. And Dr. Yunus, he is an entrepreneur who started a very different type of enterprise. He started giving loans to females in remote areas of Bangladesh. Please correct me if I am wrong. And the loan repayment was more than 90%. So he gave a new model, financing model to the world. And because of that, you know, many women in Bangladesh, they came out of poverty line. They came out of poverty because of that financing model. And currently he is the interim prime minister of Bangladesh. And if you look at these people, and then there are many other types of entrepreneurs. And, you know, so what do you think that these entrepreneurs should always be the tech entrepreneurs? Because if you look at these pictures, you will notice that, you know, three of these entrepreneurs, they are into the tech domain. And one is into the social entrepreneurship. But is it like, what about other type of entrepreneurs? A person who owns a YouTube channel, he shares, he or she shares the content on YouTube. Person who has Instagram account, a person who has a Facebook account and selling on Facebook, person having an e-commerce website, a person just if you go to the market and see some grocery shops there, you see different shops there. So, you know, different types of people, they have, they are doing their businesses. But generally, the entrepreneurship is known because of, you know, these big names. And it is related to the tech entrepreneurship. People who are working in the tech. And why? Because they have, you know, become billionaires and world knows them. Because of that, they have become famous and entrepreneurship is known, is related to that. But do you agree that the other people, they are also entrepreneurs? Should they be considered entrepreneurs? I think, yes. My opinion is yes. What is your opinion? Yes or no? They should be? Okay, so then it brings us to the next question. Okay, who is an entrepreneur? And then different forms of entrepreneurs. What are different forms of entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs? So with that, if we see, so there are different ways to become an entrepreneur. And we will discuss more, like, you know, the ambitions are different. And you can become an entrepreneur by just buying a franchise. You can have a McDonald's franchise. You have seen Subway. So who started these businesses? The person who owns the franchise did not start it. Someone else started it. And now they have this business model where different people with the capital, they can buy those franchises and they can still be an entrepreneur. But they will be different type of entrepreneurs. They will not be entrepreneur like Elon Musk. They will not be entrepreneur like Dr. Yunus. They will not be entrepreneur like founder of Alibaba, who you know, have global ambitions. They just have maybe local ambitions. Okay, I just need to have one franchise. And by the way, if I will get, you know, McDonald's franchise, which is running well, I will be fine. Because I have seen a lot many customers there. So I may be, you know, contented. I may be satisfied with this. But that is one way of becoming an entrepreneur. Then another one is there may be different people who have businesses and they have reached the retirement age. They are retiring and they are selling their businesses. Retirement is one reason. There could also be other reasons because of which they are selling their businesses. And because of those reasons, they are selling and you can buy a business and you can become an entrepreneur. You can work as self-employed person. What is self-employment? Self-employment is instead of working for some company, for some university, somewhere, you work as a freelancer, but you're working alone. You are working as a grant researcher in a university. You are working on freelancing platforms. Upwork, Fiverr, there are many other freelancing platforms on which you can work. And still you are earning and you still can be an entrepreneur. You can be a part-time entrepreneur. You will see many people, they start, there are examples. I'm not going into these examples because there is, you know, other content in the session. I want to quickly go there and then I will share more examples of entrepreneurs, different types of entrepreneurs. Part-time, you are doing job and in the evening you have some side hustle. You can start from there with your hobby, with your skills, with your knowledge and expertise. You can start developing some business idea. And you can still be part-time entrepreneur. And after a certain time, when you are confident, then you can leave your job and become full-time entrepreneur. Then you can maybe inherit a family business. You have these examples also mentioned here. Spinning off from an existing company. There is a company like Google, and you will see many companies, they are being spun off from Google, from university. Somebody, for example, in university, a professor, if you go to, this was something when I was recently in US, I saw at Stanford University, it was considered to be, you know, something very odd when professors don't have their own business. So there I saw that most of the academicians, they also own businesses. They have businesses. And they are like, they are working in university, they have research teams, they have research labs. And based on research, they have come up with something. And that is a spin-off from the university. So same is the case, the bigger companies, they encourage different people to work on the ideas. NVIDIA has this kind of program called Inception. Google has this kind of program. All these big companies have these kinds of program. So different companies can come from, one company. And you can still be an entrepreneur. Lastly, is the new venture creation. That is something which we are going to discuss more in the coming sessions. After today's session, we will be completely focused on new venture creation. What is new venture creation and how it is different from other types of entrepreneurship? In the new venture creation, you come up with a new idea. There are different ways. I'm not going into those details at this point. Just you come up with a new idea and then you create a business. You organize different activities, create a business, and then you also work with the other different other actors to create that business, and then you opt different type of strategies. And it will link, if you recall from yesterday, that entrepreneurial project is completely focused on this new venture creation process. How the idea is being generated, how you start the business, and how you grow the business. Different type of strategies, marketing and other type of strategies, and that will be the focus of the coming sessions. Any question until now? Yes. So very nice comment. I wanted to be counterintuitive in the coming slides. So in the first part, I just wanted to, you know, set up this ground because this is generally accepted view that who is an entrepreneur. But with that, thanks a lot. I will come to this bit later. But I think this is a time for an activity which is related to what you have said. And if you can open your laptops, you can go to the slides and this slide and open this document. And then you can answer some of the questions there. Let's see what you see. So you have different questions. You will also have, you know, access to this file later on when you are writing your reflections. You will have access to different opinions of the students here. What they say, I wanted to use also generative AI, but my laptop is not connected here. So you can quickly, what I wanted was, after your answers, I wanted to copy them, and then I have created my own GPT type of thing, a project with instructions. So I can just copy all the answers and it will generate 5 themes. And we can immediately put them into PowerPoint slides, which you can see what is the crux of the class about these questions. Who is an entrepreneur? What is an entrepreneurship? And do you think it is important? So if you can write the answers here, that would be great. I can see signs there. The goat sign, cheetah, writing up there on the right, which shows you are writing. Thanks. Yeah, great. Someone who creates value. Yeah, please, you are not being evaluated for these answers. So you just write something, whatever comes to your mind. And also it's anonymous. No one knows who has written what.
can write in few more minutes and then we can start discussing. Okay, so if we look at, you know, some of the answers which you have shared here, do you know that example of elephant, different blind men and an elephant? So there is that saying that there were some blind people and they touched different parts of the elephant, and someone who touches the trunk think that it's snake. Someone who touches the main body, tummy, said that it's a wall. And someone who touches the legs thought that it's a tree trunk. So I think it's the same, you know, with the concept of entrepreneur and entrepreneurship, and also generally about many other concepts. So when you look at entrepreneur and you are an academician, you will look at entrepreneur, you know, someone might be creating a value. As a student, you will be looking at differently. Government looks at entrepreneur as someone who is creating growth opportunities, who is creating employment. So different actors in the society, they look at entrepreneurs differently. And same is the case, like if you look at the definitions or some of the words, what you have described in the sheet, you will see that you have seen the entrepreneur differently. And same was the case, if even within the academicians, if you see different people, they have been looking at entrepreneurs differently. There have been scholars from economics. There have been scholars from sociology background. There have been scholars from psychology background who have attempted to look at who is an entrepreneur. And they have come up with the different explanations. So in today's session, we are not going into sociological and psychological explanation of entrepreneur. Mainly, we are just focusing on one type of explanation, which is the economic explanation. So even if we look at different economists, when they, how they have looked at the entrepreneur historically. So I can see most of the answers here in this sheet. So initially, if we go back, you know, to like maybe 600 years ago, in the early 1700s, the scholars at that point in time, they were looking at entrepreneur as risk takers. Because on one side, you have secure job, secure way of going. And on the other side, you have something which is uncertain. You are buying something at a certain price. For example, you are buying, you know, microphone in $100, and then you are selling it at an uncertain price. So there is, you know, this element of risk. So over time, different scholars, they started looking at entrepreneurs differently. And one of the scholars, we will discuss a bit more about him, is Schumpeter. He started looking at entrepreneurs as innovators. And in the 21st century, entrepreneurs in academics, they are also looked at the problem solvers, people who are solving problems. And that is where your question comes in. If we say that, okay, and if we look at, you know, the definitions, what you have mentioned, that entrepreneurs, if they are problem solvers, so now the question is, are these problems only related to creating new business? Are there are, you know, other types of problems which can be solved? So there is a view that entrepreneurship is basically an attitude. It's an attitude of risk taking. It's an attitude of innovation. It's an attitude of problem solving. And you can have that attitude to create a new business. You can have that attitude to solve some of the problems within the company or within the organization where you are working. You can have that attitude to solve problems at the government level. You can have that attitude to solve some of the social problems like United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, poverty eradication. Dr. Yunus, he is an entrepreneur, but he is not an entrepreneur who is motivated by money. And we cannot say, there are people who say that, okay, entrepreneurs are motivated by money. Okay, yes, I agree. And based on my interactions with the entrepreneurs throughout, I think most of the entrepreneurs are still motivated by money. Most of the entrepreneurs. But that's not the case for all. There are people, there are entrepreneurs who are motivated by social causes, who want to, you know, solve issues. Let me give you an example of a very interesting startup. I was listening to a podcast some time ago, and it really stuck with me. That was a startup from Romania, and what they did was they came up with the glasses, intelligent glasses, And those glasses were helping blind people to walk on the street and also to walk in the mountains, in, you know, hilly areas. And they were just working, you know, real time with GPS location and getting real time input from the environment. And so if you look at this, this is not, you know, only a problem of money, but you need, even if you, this is a social cause. Dr. Yunus wanted to eradicate poverty. There are people who are working in sustainable development goals. They want to solve those issues. But again, the entrepreneurship is, if you are creating a new organization, you want to solve a problem or you want to create an organization in such a way that it becomes sustainable. It's not an NGO, non-governmental organization. It should have its own money. It should have its own resources. It should be able to generate resources, so it's not dependent, you know, upon donations. So you try to solve, you know, those problems in such a way. So the understanding of entrepreneur has also changed over time. And mainly, entrepreneurship is considered from the lens of innovation. Whenever we say entrepreneurship, you are coming to this class. So we are discussing about entrepreneurship. Definitely, the intention is not just to teach you, you know, open a shop in the market. It's you know, innovation. It's that, and innovation is something big. What is innovation? It's a word. But when we look closely at this word, innovation, and do you know the concept of market? In the market, there is demand and supply at the simplest level. Market can be this physical market. Market can be online market. So different buyers and sellers, they come to market. Who can be the seller? Sellers can be traditional sellers. Sellers can be of services. Sellers can be different types of sellers. And then there are buyers in the market who are willing to pay for the service or for the product. And then entrepreneurs come in. An entrepreneur has the information. That's one view, Kirzner's view. There are two views in entrepreneurship which are very popular. And mainly nowadays people talk about those two views. One is Kirzner and the other one is Schumpeter. Schumpeter, and they are also in the slides. Like there is a separate slide in the coming slides. Where you have to see that. So who is an entrepreneur in view of Kirzner, and who is an entrepreneur in view of Schumpeter? So what Schumpeter says that entrepreneur is a person who is an innovator, and how is he innovator? There is a demand and supply in the market. There are things buying and selling going on. And there is some person who comes and he completely innovate something new, which disrupt the market, which destruct the whole demand and supply structures. One prime example is Apple iPhone. After iPhone, you have seen that, you know, mobile, concept of mobile completely changed. It changed to a handheld computing after iPhone. So where was that previous, you know, demand and supply for Nokia's phones and BlackBerry? All it gone. Same is the case with Uber. Uber came. Before that, there was that centralized system of, you know, taxi services. But after Uber, it's decentralized. It's a completely different, you know, structure, different way, different business model, a different innovation. Artificial intelligence, ChatGPT moment came in 2022. And there are a lot of things happening in that domain. And since then, now you see that our way of working has completely changed. When I was interviewing different entrepreneurs, I think all of them are using generative AI routinely for many, many tasks. Different people are using it differently, and now there is talk of agents who can independently perform some tasks on your behalf. Have you used, by the way, deep research from OpenAI? Deep research. It's phenomenal. So it brings us, you know, quality research. I used it for a couple of things just to experiment because it's my research domain. So it's like, you know, completely change. It has completely changed. So this is the Schumpeterian entrepreneur who thinks innovatively, and innovation is a surprise. Surprise for whom? Surprise for everybody. Surprise for the market. Surprise for the suppliers, customers, government. That is the level of innovation. And how it can come? It comes, if you go back to the first session, we talked about diversity. And I focused on diversity. I talked about diversity for a few minutes because one of the why these creative ideas are always coming from the Silicon Valley. I was there for 6 months with one single agenda. I wanted to understand why it is so that these ideas are coming from here. Why not from Finland and from other places? And to be honest, one thing what I have come up with is the attitude of the people there. The attitude is very supportive. People love discussions. They are very helpful. They don't expect anything in return. Sometimes, not all. Most of the time. And then they discuss, you know, ideas. They discuss future ideas. They discuss passionately about future ideas, not passively, actively about future ideas. And when you keep discussing these future ideas, that is where, you know, the innovation, complete surprise come in. You come up with an idea which disrupts the market. And there will be future ideas. For example, people are saying, I'm not saying, experts are saying that in quantum computing, the way the developments are taking place, there are chances. Some of the breakthroughs have already happened, which are not in front of us. And if some more breakthroughs happen, it's going to completely change the way we are living, the way we are computing, the way all these solutions and technologies are taking place. It's going to change. Just to give you one example, how people think. I interviewed somebody. He's working on a business to completely disintermediate, to completely take the, you know, researchers out of the equation. And I was scared when I was interviewing him. He told me that he's working on something, that a model which can take all data from open source articles, and also they have their own database. It can create own hypothesis. It can experiment those hypotheses in the simulations. It can verify the results, feed those results back to the system. And then, you know, again, the hypothesis creation, all that scientific process without any human involvement. He's working on this. And I was just checking LinkedIn yesterday or day before yesterday. His company was named one of the inspirational companies recently in some, I think, TechCrunch or some, you know, bigger ranking database somewhere. So, there are people, you know, who think of these innovative ideas and how they think. That is, when you are sitting, discussing, you go back, you meditate. Interestingly, I met somebody, he meditates like 6 hours consecutively. And then the ideas, when I was discussing with him, the ideas he was coming, they were completely like, okay, this is a way to look at things. So we are living, you know, in a world of distractions. We have social media distractions. We have internet. We have these AI tools and everything now. So in these distractions, if you want to come up with innovative ideas, Schumpeterian's innovative ideas, you need to go out of these distractions. You need to spend time alone. You need to reflect. And that is the reason we have the reflective assignment in our course. Go, sit silent, and reflect on learning. Reflect on surprises. Think innovatively and creatively and discuss with one another. That is the Schumpeterian entrepreneur. But do you think that all the entrepreneurs are like this? Definitely no. Then there is another person who has also played phenomenal role. His name is Kirzner, Israel Kirzner. And he says that what entrepreneur does is, okay, again, going back to the basics, demand and supply in the market. He says that the entrepreneur comes in the market and looks at the current demand and supply structures. And then he notices something that, okay, there is a demand of something which is increasing or which may increase in the future. Just to give you one example, for example, if you have noticed, okay, young people, they have become in one region or one area, they have become more active physically. So you can anticipate, you know, that there will be demand of a gym in the future for workout. So you have noticed that demand and supply gaps. And how have noticed that everybody cannot have that information. Everybody cannot connect those dots. So you have that information advantage, which is called information asymmetries. There is a concept of information asymmetries. What does it mean? It means that different people, they have different types of information. I have different information, you have different information, different people have different information. And because of these information differences, there are people who can understand that there is a gap in the market which can be fulfilled. Prime example is Starbucks. Do you know the founding story of Starbucks? Have you tried Starbucks sometimes? Do you know Starbucks? Okay. So its story started, the founder, he was at a place, he was working somewhere. Then he suddenly noticed something in some area that sale of, you know, a particular machine was increasing. So he's not the founder. The founders were different. And when he notices that, he went there. He discussed with them. He noticed the demand that there is, you know, this need of social place for discussions other than home and office. And then he came up with this, there was already this idea. He took over that business, brought some investment into that, but he does not innovate something, you know, fundamentally. So he just, you know, connected the dots in the information. And most of the entrepreneurs, different forms of entrepreneurs, other than those new venture creation and innovators, you will see that most of them, they can be explained with the help of Kirzner's explanation. Okay, got it? Let's have a look at some of the slides. Any question from your side, please? Yep. Come up? Finland? Yeah. I just mentioned the example of Finland because we are in Finland. They also don't come from other places. And just to give you one example, because you have asked this question, when I was interviewing different entrepreneurs, I interviewed from many countries, from Japan, Australia, France, Germany, India, and from many places. And I can easily say that there was one common thing, that most of these entrepreneurs, they wanted to be connected with Silicon Valley. I know there is a bubble. There are other places in the world where ideas are coming. and why they wanted to be connected with Silicon Valley. And then I also saw people, I discussed with them, they just went to Silicon Valley for a week or 2 weeks visit. And I saw they have changed their business ideas. They have pivoted just within 2 weeks. Previously, they spent, I know one person in Germany, he spent more than one year working on an idea. And when I met him on the first day, he was convincing me, you know, this idea is like this. I said, okay, fine. But then he went to few conferences, and after a couple of weeks, he said, oh, you know, I think I need to pivot. within couple of weeks. Why that happened? It's because, you know, people are discussing ideas. It's fast. They are discussing about future. They are not passively discussing. They are searching they have that hunger, that passion for innovation. And that is the reason most of the ideas, Facebook, most of these big influential companies still are coming there. And maybe in the future, in the foreseeable future, the companies might still be coming from there. But what I'm sharing with you is that, okay, we cannot copy that. But still, if in the class and you are at the university, you have access to different people, and the more you meet with each other. So these concepts, you can go just go to YouTube, Kirzner, and type Kirzner and Schumpeter. You will find many interesting videos, simple. You can get, you know, all those explanations. But that is not my role here. So my role is to link it with your experiences and answer your questions in the class and creating, you know, some sort of excitement and passion to give you some more ideas to search more. And when you come next time in the class, you may have more questions in the mind that we can discuss in the class. I hope it answers your question. But there are different factors. So to me, that diversity and benefiting from diversity, being active, going to different people. They are not going to, you know, say us something. We should just go them, say hi. At Stanford, okay, let me give you one more example. One difference I noticed in Stanford students and generally students from other places, that is the networking. So there I saw undergrad students, they were very busy. The study load is very high. And despite that, what they were doing is they are going to attend a class. And on the way, they just get, you know, 5 minutes. And there is a session going on. There is a meeting going on. They will just go there. Say hi. Hi. We just got 5 minutes and we thought that, okay, we can just say hi. Nothing. You know, this is the way to, you know, network and to, you know, build up that diversity. And if it's not happening, so as a teacher, as a coordinator, I can just, you know, share my experiences that this is my observation, that this is important. This is what we need. And this can be developed if we interact more out of the class and we discuss more about different issues. I hope it makes sense, huh? Okay, so let me see. Any other question, please? No? We can just have a look at some of the slides. And if there will be some confusion at some point, you can ask me. Otherwise, I can briefly explain most of the things I think I have covered already in our discussion. But let's see what we have here. So this is the dictionary definition of entrepreneur. And interestingly, if you look at Cambridge Dictionary, you will also see someone who makes money by starting their own business, especially involves seeing a new opportunity and taking risks. So I think that dictionary is also not well representing the definition of entrepreneur, because it's focusing on money and it's very limiting. If we just focus on money, we need more entrepreneurs. We need more entrepreneurship attitude in different institutions. This one we have discussed already. So historically, it started from risk taking. And in 21st century, it has ended up with the problem solving, entrepreneurs as problem solvers. And then there are different myths about entrepreneurs. I was looking at the answers, and most of you agree that entrepreneurs are not born. They can be made. Why they can be made? They can learn. They can learn to be passionate. They can learn to be persistent. They can team up with other people. They can learn to identify ideas. There are ways to improve your creativity. There are ways to improve your networking skills. There are ways to improve your management skills. So, but interestingly, there is a substream of research in entrepreneurship which is focusing on biological explanation of entrepreneurship. And they look at, you know, DNA, they look at, you know, genes and all of that, and they are trying to explain entrepreneurship as something, you know, genetic. And there is, they have come up with some of the explanations there. So it's not like completely, there could be element. But on the other side, many of the things in entrepreneurship, what is needed there, they can be learned. Then there was another thing I was noticing in the answers in your sheet. That was the risk taking. Do you think that entrepreneurs are risk takers? To an extent. But again, if you look at Kirzner's entrepreneurs, most of those entrepreneurs, they let me give you an example of Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, the founder of Amazon. When he was starting Amazon, he wrote a complete risk memo before starting Amazon. What are risks? So he And then he discussed with parents. So many of the entrepreneurs, they gradually moved. They do job as a side hustle. They come up with the idea, things, and then gradually, you know, they shift to entrepreneurs. Not all entrepreneurs are completely, you know, risk takers in the sense that we have in our mind. That is a myth. So many entrepreneurs, they go gradually. Motivated by money. That you have already mentioned in the answer, and all of you seems to agree that that's not the only motivation. Entrepreneurs should be young and energetic. Do you agree? What is your opinion? Any one of you? Someone from the middle row, from the back row? What's your name? Sri Lanka. Okay. Yep. Anyone else? You know, what is the average age of successful entrepreneurs? There has been research about it. So most of the successful entrepreneurs, they are in 40s. And KFC example is one, you know, extreme example. So what was his age? He was 65 years old when he started KFC. 65 years. And now you can see the success story of KFC. Sometimes, it also happens like, okay, you start late, but you have been, learning the skills. you have been learning how to manage people. You have been learning how to deal with people. And then different people have different life journeys. They start from different points. They are not, you know, in the same race. They are like we were talking about forest, and we are creating our own way. So all of us have different life journeys, different plans, different ambitions, different motivations, different set of starting resources. And depending on that, you can be young entrepreneurs. There are people who, even the youngest one, I think that guy with the toy-related YouTube channel, Rayan, or what is his name? I don't know. I think millions and billions of followers. So he might be making a lot of money, might be very rich at the very young age. And I saw some entrepreneurs there. I came to know about a story of some couple of entrepreneurs. They started in the school, and now they have successful business while they are studying in university. So there could be, you know, examples. So it's basically, if you know that, okay, entrepreneurship can be learned, and what I need to learn, what is weakness, what is my deficiency, what I need to improve. I need to improve social networking. I need to improve creativity. I need to improve management. I need to, you know, improve on certain aspects of starting. You may have different responsibilities, family responsibilities. That also explains when you should start a business. And all that, you know, explains the age and entrepreneurship. Then the last one is entrepreneurs love the spotlight. Yes, many of them want to be, you know, at the center stage. They want to be, you know, recognized in the, if you go in the trains or travel somewhere, you will see business class. There is no academicians class. There is no, you know, scholars class, nothing. So mostly it's business class. So we are living in the capitalistic world. We know that we are living in this time. But then there are some entrepreneurs who don't want that spotlight. Do you know who is the founder of Google? Larry Page and Sergey Brin. But they have been pushing Eric Schmidt, who was the CEO of Google, for the media. WhatsApp owners, they were from Ukrainian immigration background. Nobody knows them. So there are entrepreneurs, introvert entrepreneurs. So it should not always be the case that you should be, you know, extrovert. You can have a team. If there is a person who is introvert, but he's more creative. So in the entrepreneurial team, his or her role can be different. Then there could be other people in the team who can, you know, take care of other roles. So mainly with these myths, the key idea is that entrepreneurship can be learned, and you can develop your entrepreneurial skills. So coming to the academic definition, based on all this, we were trying to chase the elephant, the entrepreneurship elephant. And then we were trying to create a way in the forest. And based on all the discussions, what you have mentioned, and then if we look at the, there was a couple of answers in the sheet. I could see they exactly wrote what is here. So this is the most widely used academic definition of entrepreneurship, which came in the 2000. And I have shared that article with you already. That was the most, until now, the most famous article in last 25 years in entrepreneurship, the most cited article. And why is that? Because it fundamentally says what it says. It criticized the all earlier explanations of entrepreneurship. And what were the earlier explanations? All earlier explanations, they were mainly focusing on entrepreneur as heroes. They were thinking entrepreneur, I mean, why we only know Elon Musk? Why not the team? Why? I mean, do you think that the entrepreneur alone can start a business and can be successful? No, there is a team, and there is usually an entrepreneurial team. OpenAI, this ChatGPT. So they had a team, not one person. Elon Musk had a team. All these big entrepreneurs, they had team. So team and then the environment. If Elon Musk, when he migrated from, do you know he's from South Africa? So when he migrated to Canada, so if he would have migrated to, again, sorry, we are in Finland, so I'm giving example of Finland. In Finland, so do you think that he would have been able to create all these businesses? I doubt, because the same person, same biological, you know, factors, but there is an element of environment. So you need to be in the right environment. So if you want to look at the entrepreneurship, so it's the person and the environment. And what is that environment? That is the opportunity part. The opportunity is coming from the environment. So with this definition, they focus on, there are different elements. One is opportunities. And what are the opportunities? They are the gaps in the market, problems to be solved, a new way of doing things. They are all opportunities, different ways to look at the opportunities. They can be discovered, identified, exploited, evaluated and exploited. All opportunities may not be attractive. Some may be, some may not. So you can choose some of those. Then they take different steps. That comes the entrepreneur. And what is the effect? In this definition, the effect can be a new business creation. The effect can be social. The effect can be institutional. So if you look at this definition, you will notice that this definition, you know, it's a very comprehensive definition, which is covering different levels and different aspects. We only have around 10 more minutes. So we are about to finish. Any question from your side or comments until this stage? Okay. We have discussed about these two, Schumpeter and Kirstner. You can read more about them. So this is a model which explains Schumpeter's entrepreneurship theory. So it starts from where it starts. What is the starting point? The starting point is innovation. And from what is innovation? The innovation can be new products. Innovation can be new processes. Innovation can be new method. Innovation can be new way of doing things. Innovation can be new combination of resources. So there are different ways to innovate. And when you have innovated, then you exploit this opportunity. And when you exploit this opportunity, it creates value. It creates economic value, or it can create, you know, social value. And then it goes back to the innovation. Then someone else comes, he again innovates something, completely disrupt the whole system of the market. There are examples I shared with you already, iPhone, then this artificial intelligence, then we have these Uber, e-commerce. There are examples which have disrupted, but we are not ending here. Quantum computing can come. There can be new, more technologies which can come and they can disrupt the current systems. These are examples I already shared with you. Uber, Apple, Kirstnerian entrepreneurs, Starbucks, people selling on Instagram, YouTube channels. They are all Kirstnerian entrepreneurs. Then coming to the point what Sophie mentioned at the start, you can see this is the last line here. So it shows that entrepreneurship is an attitude. So entrepreneurship can be within existing companies, and this is technically known as intrapreneurship. intrapreneurship. So entrepreneurship should be taken as an attitude. So here is a question for you. If you have a chance to launch a startup or a new business, what will you choose from the middle option, option A or option B? Please raise your hands after you have seen it's for option A. How many of you will choose option A? You know 80% of the market, but have no team. And you want to start a business. Then you have a great team, but zero clue about the market. You have team, but you don't know what to do with the team. On the other side, you know the market, you know the problem, but you don't have team. What would be your choice? Choice A. 1, 2, 3. A. 4, 5. Choice B. 1, 2, 3, 4. So why choice A? If you can explain, some of you who have raised hand. Interesting. So you can build your team on the way if you have got cool idea. You have got innovative idea and you are confident on the idea. That's called self-efficacy. If you want to read more about it, self-efficacy. So you are confident that this idea will work. You know the market. You have experience. You have network. You know most of these things. And then you don't want to have a team. You just want to go alone and you want to build the team on the way. That is one way. And then who said B? Another interesting way to look at it. So you have a team, interesting team, dedicated team, cohesive team, and they have got the skills, they have got the abilities, and they are trying to figure out their journey together in some space. So do you know Y Combinator? I'm mentioning this because you can search more about it. It's called the Harvard or Stanford of the startup world. Y Combinator. It's the best non-incubator and accelerator in the world. These Facebook and all these, many of these companies, they were incubated from there. Y Combinator. And many new entrepreneurs which go to Y Combinator, they change their ideas. Change their ideas, they pivot their ideas many times before they come, especially in the technology world, it happens, you know, quite fast. So, you know, you have a team and then you can. So what it tells us is that the entrepreneurs, this is very important concept. The concept is, before, just you have another example, Trump came in and in Canada, you are a person there dealing with the Tesla cars. I came to know from a friend, you know, it was completely uncertain. The prices have come down by thousands of dollars because of the Trump tariff, because people in Canada, they have sentiments against US now, against Trump. And you are a dealer, suddenly, you know, something which was not in your control has come. So what it all says, this is very important concept, that is uncertainty. So we started from that forest. We are in a forest. We don't know who are the dangerous animals. We don't know the terrain. We don't know the space. And there is uncertainty everywhere. We don't know whether the business will be successful or not. We don't know the outcomes. We cannot estimate the outcomes. But still we are, you know, into the business. So entrepreneurs, they have to take decisions under uncertainty most of the time. And but in how to be good in uncertainty, there are some skills. Like you need to be resilient. You need to be adaptable. You need to have that lifelong learning orientation, learning every day something new. And then you can be, you know, being cool, calm in the uncertain situation. So there are some skills which you can develop to behave in the uncertain world. But you cannot be alone into this. This is an example of some of the why entrepreneurship is needed. These are three prime examples what I mentioned here. So Wi-Fi was invented by scientists, but it came to us because of the entrepreneurs. Then we have EV batteries, but the entrepreneurs, they converted it into Tesla. We have the research in AI was going on for many decades, but it came to us because of entrepreneurs. So entrepreneurs have a great role to, you know, bring the innovations and inventions to the market and create value. Last but not the least is entrepreneurs are rarely alone. They are most of the time working in the teams. And I'm not going to talk more about it. Different team, they come up with different cognition, skills, abilities. And then there are problems also in the team. And sometimes if you don't have team, you can also have the advisory board. And with the advisory board, you can take example information and help from different experts from the industry. But for this, what I have done is, if you go to the useful resources, you don't have to read all. It depends on your own motivation and engagement. This chapter 1 can be good from this first book. And then this Y Combinator podcast, if you are more interested to know about the team, how you should select a co-founder, some of the mistakes which entrepreneurs make. This is a great podcast. I liked it. Then this fourth one is the most important article in last couple of decades in entrepreneurship, which is the most cited one. And you can also read it if you like. With that, thanks a lot for your great attention and focus. And I hope to see you next week. Thank you.